Faithful Father, hear us as we pray. Forgive us for the many times and many ways we have broken your commands. We know that by what we have done and by what we have failed to do, we have sinned against you and against one another in thought, word, and deed. But by the mercy you show us in the cross of your dear Son, cleanse our hearts and minds of our guilt and shame. Grant that we, holding fast to the promises of our risen Savior, live with confidence in the grace that draws us into your holy presence. In the name of our Savior we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we have gathered in the Lord's name and in his house so that we share in all the blessings of life and salvation Jesus freely gives to all who repent of their sin and trust in him. Upon this your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Lord, announce his grace to all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
Come First lesson for this evening is appointed for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. It is written in Hebrews chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. We are here because we have come to share Christ. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
You may be seated. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear these words again. Exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, for we share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As you can see, my message today is called, We Were Taught to Share. Sometimes it's a lesson that takes a while for people to begin to understand. For example, there's this story of a mom that was preparing pancakes for her two boys. An older boy that was 5 and a younger boy that was 3. And the boys began to argue about who was going to get the first pancake. And mom had this bright idea. Hey, this is a good chance to teach a lesson about Jesus. And so she said, "Well, you know, if Jesus were sitting here, he would say, 'Let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait.'" So the older boy looks at the younger boy and says, "All right, you be Jesus." So it takes a while to learn that, but at some point, yes, we were taught to share. Not just pancakes, ice cream, but the most important thing that we share in life. We share Jesus. And with our entire lives, with everything that we do, we are either sharing Jesus or we're sharing something else. The opportunity to share Jesus is one of the greatest. It goes far beyond being able to kind of step off to the side and show somebody, hey, you can go first. Or just to kind of be the cordial person that we are supposed to be from time to time. You know, there were days and times where things were, the very essence of a person's being was going to be determined by what they had in life. There was a movie called Cinderella Man. It was set in the time of the Great Depression. There was a fighter who was trying to get some fights, but found himself unemployed. Bad time to be unemployed. And I'm going to share a scene from that movie that shows just what it is that he faced, but what it is that he saw as an opportunity. And just have the people in the back be prepared to adjust the volume as necessary.
Mama, I want some more.
Oh, I'm sorry, sweetheart. I need to save some for the boys. Here you go.
You know me. I dreamed last night. I was having dinner at the Ritz with Mickey Rooney and George Raft.
Really?
I dreamed I had a steak. Thick, juicy steak. Oh. Like this, Rose.
Wow.
And then I had a mountain of mashed potatoes. And I went back for ice cream 3 times.
Oh.
I'm stuffed. I'm absolutely full. I cannot eat another thing. You want to give me a hand?
Jimmy.
That was all he had. And yet, he wanted to make sure that even in a time of great want, of great trouble for the family, that he was still going to be able to raise his daughter in a normal fashion, but also to show her that indeed, during the most difficult times, we have the opportunity to share. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, though, how? It seems like more and more, when we reach out a hand that intends to share the love of Christ, that hand is slapped back at us. That hand is kind of thrown back saying, I don't want what you have to offer. I don't need what you have to give. Well, in life, my friends, even as people want to reject some of the things that we have, the need is still there. Now, obviously, the fighter in that movie was going to figure out at some point to be able to eat something somehow. That was his sustenance. But we do no less here. By having a spiritual sustenance, perhaps the things that we have been seeing in our country, maybe in our world, is a result of people who, whether they understand it or not, are starving spiritually, are near the point of just complete starvation. There is absolutely nothing left to move them on because they have done without proper spiritual sustenance for so long, they don't even know how to ask anymore. And indeed, these people have built their own hell by depriving themselves of the very thing that God has offered in his love to everybody for free. The very thought that what we need the most is laid out, even as we are gathered here tonight, in such an abundant fashion that there's no way that the Lord would let us go hungry. Not spiritually, but still, people want to try. The story I'm about to share was written by a Christian author well over a century ago. But this Christian author shared a story about a man who was visiting with the Lord. And the Lord said, you know what? I am going to show you heaven and hell. And he went in and he said, let me show you hell first. He goes into a room, and in the middle of the room is this gigantic pot of the greatest soup that you have ever had. Tasty. Filled with whatever it is that you would need, that you would like. And all the people were gathered around in a circle. And all of them had spoons. Spoons that reached to the kettle. Spoons that were able to take up as much as they needed, except for one thing. From where they sat, the spoon handles were all longer than their arms were. And so while the spoons would reach to the kettle, to it and into it, there's no way they could feed themselves. And you had a room full of people who were starving, destitute and desperate, needing what that had to offer, but having no idea how to deal with it. Then the Lord took the man and said, now, let me show you heaven. Walked into a room that was very similar to hell. There was another big kettle of soup right in the middle of the room. Everybody has got the great big long spoons that could reach to and into the kettle. But all the people gathered around were well fed. They were joyful. They were all smiles. They loved being in the presence of one another. For a while, the man was confused. I don't get it. How are those people full and these other people beyond desperate? And Jesus looked and said, it is because these people have learned how to feed each other. A curious story, perhaps, that fictional, no doubt, but reminding us how, for each one of us, to be able to share Christ, we're not asked to do it alone. We have seen things that have changed a lot of lives just here in this past week. And while we're grateful that it wasn't our lives that were turned upside down by this, it doesn't help some of the people that were. Some of these people aren't going to know what to do. There are those that have already been told to prepare for 2 months without any kind of what we would call basic services, electricity, water. 2 months. What are those people going to do? Well, as we go back to some of the tragedies that have beset us in the last 15, 20 years, however long you want to go back to, while you see an inconsistency in terms of how well different organizations and different people responded to it, there's one entity that as far back as we can go has always been there. Are among the first to arrive and the last to leave. are the ones that care the least about things like paperwork, forms. That, my friends, is the church. And these are people that are just waiting for an opportunity, just like you, to find a way to serve people that you have never even met. And it really doesn't matter. I mean, if we were set here in such a way that, say that one of our people gathered here actually owned an ice company, and one of the great needs might be in the weeks to come, ice so that people can kind of keep things cold. And we would be able to help load truckloads and truckloads and truckloads of ice. Almost every one of you would just be asking, where do I need to show up to help do that? And can I find some time where I can help pass some of that out? It doesn't even matter what it is. You are there, not necessarily to share ice so much, although it's there, ice, food, whatever it is that the people need, but you're there to share the love of Christ. Now, before we talk about the ability to share and to share amongst ourselves how we're going to share that love of Christ, before we can give, we must be able to receive it. There's a certain part of each of us, I suppose that's what sin does, that struggles a little bit. Whether we find ourselves unworthy, whether we think of ourselves as not really needing what God has to offer, or maybe that we can do it better. Maybe a certain path of life that has decided that other things are more important right now. Maybe something that has torn inside of us, a personal tragedy that no one else knows about. A tragedy that has turned your life as upside down as the people that were living in Mexico Beach. At that moment, you need to be the first to understand that the abundance of things that you need in your heart and in your life are being delivered to you by God Himself. That's what sending His Son was all about. In this evening's gospel lesson, you heard about a man who he really thought he was ready. I'm going to follow you, Lord. Oh, yes, and I've even looked at all that list of commandments, and maybe you've noticed something about that gospel lesson as Jesus was listing the commandments. He managed to not mention a couple that maybe this man was going to struggle with a little bit. For example, you shall have no other gods. And when the man walked away sorrowful, it's because he decided that what he was going to provide himself in life was more important than what God was going to share. Now, even if we're not talking necessarily money or riches, there's always something. There has been something in the lives of every one of us that gets in the way. And Jesus simply says, look, follow me. Take the opportunity to see what happens when we share Christ. Because when we share Christ, we share in His death. When we share Christ, we share in His sufferings. When we share Christ, we share in His resurrection. We are not sharing something of somebody who used to be. we are sharing somebody who really is now and always will be and will be greater than all of us combined. The ability to talk about the thing that we need the most in the present tense and in the future tense, rather than just in the past somewhere, is one of the great joys. That is truly what the gospel is all about. That it's for you. It's for now. And it's for everybody. Friends, we do have to be careful. Because just as things have perhaps have gotten in our way through different times of our lives, maybe affecting us now, even as we stand committed to our Lord and Savior, we pray that that same Holy Spirit who gave us faith, who's made our faith useful, who has strengthened it, will allow that faith to endure into eternal life. And you would be shocked how quickly people can fall away, not just because of riches. Going back into the mid-1970s, and for those of you that weren't with us at that time, bear with me for a minute. How many of you remember the Sony Betamax? A couple people are shaking their head. What? For the benefit of the rest of them, what was it? Pardon me? Well, actually, it was a type of a VCR. Yeah. It was a VCR, and this thing was huge. When Christmas would go around, although these things were really expensive, Sony made this brand new thing called a VCR, a video recorder, where you could record your television programs. And boy, even despite its cost, it really was looking like they were going to take over not only the market, but the world. There were two problems. Number one was that at the same time Sony came up with this thing called the Betamax, another Japanese company known as JVC developed a whole different format. They developed the same thing, but it was under a format that was called VHS. Now, there's a term you should know. But when the time came after they had perfected VHS, they shared their patents with a number of different organizations that could help make those, that could help improve on them, that could help make those, that could put them in so that they could go in at a lower price point. Pretty soon, the world was filling up quickly with VCRs in a VHS format. In the first year where this happened, Sony lost 10% of its business. The second year, it was 40%. The third year, they finally had to go into the VHS business themselves. And, Sony's still out there, but they aren't nearly the company that they could have been. And when you look at finally that they only found a kind of a second life in a game system, you realize that they just about went out of business for a while. All because somebody else decided they were going to share. Sony didn't. Friends, we've never reached a point in our life, and we never will, where we don't have to share anymore. And while being able to share the love of Christ and whatever it is that we will need to do in the weeks and months to come is something that, as God's people, we must do. We have always done here as a congregation. But as we share Christ, we share it first of all in our own lives, then into the lives of those that are closest to us. Because remember, either we are sharing Christ or we're sharing something else that is far removed from Christ. And the minute we do, Not only are we starving other people, we're going to start starving ourselves. Friends, from an early age, you were taught to share. Tonight, always, let's make sure that what we share is in Jesus Christ. Because we share in him if we stand firm in our faith. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. We confess our Christian faith now in the words of the Nicene Creed. It's up on the screen or on the inside back cover of the hymnal. Please stand as we confess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We receive our offerings. As we do, we have the song, I Will Follow. Please be seated. Friends, we lift up our hearts as we bow our heads in prayer. Lord our God, we rejoice to stand in your presence, to come before you in prayer and praise and thanks through what your Son has done for us. We thank you for showing us what Jesus has done for us, that we have the opportunity not only to have him in our hearts, but also to share him with others. We thank you for revealing your saving love to us through him. We praise you for his holy life of true manhood and for his innocent suffering and death, not only on our behalf, but on behalf of everyone, so that through him we have the forgiveness of sins and the power to conquer the most difficult of times, the sure gift of eternal life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word to be the lamp to light our path through the difficult times of life. Enrich our lives with the endurance and encouragement which we can receive only from you. Fill us with the sustenance of the hope that we have in Christ now and forever. We pray for your church here and throughout the world. We offer special prayers tonight on behalf of the churches, both from our own denomination and also those from others, as Christian churches that stand as one that have been heavily damaged or destroyed by the storm of this past week. You've made the church alive. And it is alive because of the people who share the love of Christ. So uphold and bless all of those who will be doing missions of mercy in the weeks to come. Bless all the leaders that must face some of the difficult decisions that lie ahead nationally, in our state, and in the local governments. Bless our homes. May they always be filled with Christ in good times and in bad. We pray for all who are facing hardship, sickness, suffering, danger, that you fill their lives with grace and that you hold before them the perfect peace of Christ. We now lift up before you someone in our own lives who is going through those very troubles. There's a need of the help that you give that we lift up before you now in the privacy of our own hearts. Strengthen them by your mighty power that they may remember that you are their only Savior and help. We also lift up before you those who are going through some of the blessings of life. We pray on behalf of Camille and Jimmy, also on behalf of all of those that are having birthdays and anniversary celebrations or other special moments in life that you have given to them. Watch over them. Remind each and every one of us of the joy of always being able to share you today, tomorrow, and always, who lives and reigns forever and ever, who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. You've shown your mercy to us and given your only Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In these last days, you have poured out onto your church the power of your love that we may proclaim the wonders of your salvation in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. So as you have poured them out upon your gathered people, may we faithfully eat and drink of the body and blood of your Son, going forth to proclaim his salvation to the ends of the earth. Hear us, for his own name's sake, amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please stand as we pray this closing prayer together. Lord Jesus, your grace goes before us and behind us. Your love is over us and beneath us. Your faithfulness will ever lead and guide us. As we depart back into your world, by your word, help us to draw others into your presence and help us to treasure all that we share in you. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Let's remain standing for this final song. Well, regardless of where things take you this evening, whether it's out to supper or back to your homes or into the homes of friends and relatives or even to a prom tonight, may God's blessings be with you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.